Henry Hall introduced him and left and went to the football game. Or at least Andy's back here.
Yeah, introduced him. Glad he's here, and see you later. And he went to watch high school football.
You got your thing turned on.
It says red. It says low battery, but it says on. I don't. Did he say this? You gotta remember, I'm not very technical.
It looks like it's on to me.
Okay. Yep, it's on.
High on the time.
It didn't. It was a red light that was by low battery. I'm not good at that technological stuff. It's an honor to be here, and as always, it's been a trying day. I told Ronnie I have 19 phone calls from my mother today. 19. And I went to see her twice today. And you just pray for it. It's a sad time. I called my brother Joe and let her FaceTime with Deborah Ruth and Joe and Karen. 30 minutes later, she said, I haven't talked to Joe. And you pray that something will improve her memory. Your Bible's the book of Mark, chapter 4. Read verses 36 to the rest of the chapter. Speak to you tonight on the subject, the storms of life. I would have sang, Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes by. It is a song that befits the times of our society. Mark chapter 6, chapter 4 and verse 36. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I tell you, I'm glad God cares. We sing the song, Does Jesus Care? He does indeed care about the plights of his people. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I thought about what a portrait of salvation. How that our spirit is in turmoil. And we are tossed about with the fear of death and the sin that so engulfs our soul. And then the Spirit of God speaks to us. And there is a peace that passeth all understanding. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, if you do not think that this is a great miracle of God, the next time the rain is pouring and the wind is blowing, go tell it to stop and see how far you get therein. You imagine the awesome power of God that can simply say, Be still, and the wind is calm. I often wondered, I have a very inquisitive mind, what happened to those other little ships? Were they consumed in the storm? They didn't have Jesus upon them. Lord, keep me safe in the storms of life. This is an old sermon. I began preparing this sermon or thinking about this sermon when I went to see my good friend, Medford Caldeal, in the hospital. He was suffering. Barely breathed. Did nothing but cough. Remember tears running down my cheek as I drove home. Thinking about the terrible storm that his family was in. What we did that day, we made funeral arrangements. He told me that I want you and Jim Settlemyer to do my funeral. I want you to eulogize me. And Jim to preach a funeral. And he said, when I die, you can have my books. He showed up at our conference next year, and I was mad at him because he didn't die, and I didn't get his books. I said, thanks a lot, Medford. He was a dear friend. Do anything in the world for me. I thought much after that about the many storms of life that we endure here upon this earth. Perhaps some are even this night going through a storm, and if you're not, you will be before long. In looking at some preliminary lessons from this story, we learn about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was asleep. Never before in eternity past, nor since His resurrection, has Jesus Christ slept. He has been busy overlooking the affairs of His people, but He had to be human in order to be our Redeemer. And we find Jesus asleep. We learn not about the humanity only, but about the deity of Christ. He was man, but He was always God when He calmed the sea. We learn about His omnipotence. We learn about the weakness of faith and the very best of saints. We're not dealing with a bunch of backsliders. This story is not about a bunch of people who haven't been to church in a while and are living outside the realm of faithfulness to God. They were the best of the best at that day and time, and we see how weak they were. And it ought to serve as a reminder every day. I'm just a weak sinner. I need God every day to hold me up in the storms of life. We find that a crowd will follow miracles. Why do you think Joel Osteen and the likes of him have such a following? People like miracles. And they follow Christ. Even in those little ships, not because they loved Him, but they liked miracles. We need never question, we learn never question God's love for us in the midst of our storms. Three things I want to notice. I want to notice, first of all, the reality of storms. Secondly, the risk of storms. And thirdly, the remedy from the storms of life. First of all, the reality. I don't have to tell you that, do I? I don't have to tell you that storms are real. I thought a while back about all of the brothers, the preachers that we have lost in the last 5 to 10 years. Medford Caldeal, Brother McCoy, how many others have suffered great sickness and great pain and hardship. When I preached this sermon, my dear brother Reggie Moore was alive, but in terrible health. The Bible warns us of the coming of storms. And I urge you tonight, prepare. Prepare just as if you would prepare if you heard a terrible tornado was headed right for your house. Prepare for the storms of life. Let me mention a few things about them. Sometimes these storms come suddenly. Phone call. Storm of life is a phone call away. You're there sleeping late at night. The phone rings and as parents we get a tremble. Oh, we hope our children are home. When our children are grown, we hope they're safe. I've known of many lives to be changed by a phone call. Sometimes they're sudden. Our dear sister Linda Heipel went to work, going about her daily routine, hit a car head on, died and went off into eternity. The storms of life hit that family suddenly. And then sometimes these storms are severe. Okay, there's some hard things that we endure in this life. And thirdly, sometimes they are sent by God. This storm in our text, God sent it. He knew these disciples need to learn a lesson of dependence and needed to be reminded that their faith was weak. God sent it. And then know this, sometimes they're self-imposed. Sometimes storms come into our life because of our sins and we bring these storms upon ourselves. And lastly, they're always sent with a purpose from God. No matter what we might endure, God has a purpose therein. Job 5:6 says, yet man is born unto trouble. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Genesis 3:16, the woman is promised sorrow in childbearing and sorrows multiply. Psalms 132:13 and verse 2, having sorrow in my heart daily. And that's a child of God. That's David speaking. Sorrow in my heart daily. Psalms 32:10, many sorrows shall be of the wicked. And we read and study the Word of God. Bible characters remind us of the storms of life. Joseph was a good and a godly man, a young lad. He had storm after storm after storm after storm. Praise God, he maintained his integrity. Same with Jacob, Moses, Job, Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, the disciples, Stephen, the Apostle Paul, even Jesus Christ himself endured the storms of life. Now let me mention some of the types of storm that invade our lives. First of all, there are domestic storms. 53% of all marriages end in divorce. Don't let it be you. I'm telling you something, husbands and wives need to protect the sanctity of the home. They need to protect what God said about one man, one woman for life. You know that every divorce that has ever taken place started with the first argument. And then they continue and continue till hard feelings develop. We see a dissolving of the family unit. Someone asked me today, and I remembered that at the old Bible conferences, there was a preacher and his wife, and their son always hit them up. And did I remember who it was? I did remember. And he did. He'd just take his fist and hit his mom, and he wasn't about this big. I don't care how big he was. He needed his behind tan. Fine. Most of us can tell stories about marriages that have gone bad. I sit in the pro shop one day, a gentleman comes in that I knew but I hadn't seen for a while, and I knew he had retired, and I said, how's retirement? Tears begin to roll down his face. Sam, I retired. We have a cottage up north, and me and my wife, we were going to take her up there, and we were going to enjoy the days of my retirement, the time that we didn't get to spend together when I was working. And she said, I want a divorce. I've met somebody else. Broken. Devastated. Had a man come in, talk to me, and he said, today is my birthday. I said, what'd your wife get me? He said, a divorce. As I sit at the kitchen table drinking my coffee, she came in and said, here are the papers. Happy birthday. Storms of life. You know, a saying that really irritates me is when I am talking to couples and they say, I love him, but I'm not in love with him. I don't know what that means. I had a woman tell me that her husband is devastated. He's a cousin of mine, and his life is ripped apart. And I said, well, does she not love you? She said, she loves me, but she's not in love with me. I preached her funeral about 5 months ago. Not saying one has anything to do with the other. The day and time and vows mean nothing. When I marry people, I set them down as these are vows that you make before God. I don't care about the assembly, and I don't care about mom and daddy. These vows are before God. Honor them. And then the domestic storms involving children. Nothing in this world can bring you more joy or more hurt than children. And they can do it within minutes of each other. The worry, when is it ever going to end? When am I going to be able to stop worrying about my kids? When am I going to stop be able to just rest easy that everything's okay? When Jesus comes. Small problems oftentimes become bigger. My son, his second divorce, told me the only reason I don't die is because I'm not saved. And then you throw in the grandkids. I always worry about my grandkids. My grandkids rode with us to Myrtle Beach. And Stevie, who's 9 years old, they were here at church at night. Papa, tell me about God. Tell me about the Bible. Tell me what it means to be saved. What is the difference between heaven and hell? And oh, there's joy in my heart and yet sadness. Then notice some of the sorrows that children bring. Certainly when they're lost. I have two children who are lost. Oh, above anything else in this world, may God save their soul. They're both successful, have good jobs, but that all means nothing if they die and go to hell. And oh, as parents, don't let your main concern be their education or be their job or be their athletic ability. Let it be their soul. Because that's the only thing that's eternal. When they fall into sin. How much sorrow parents have felt when their kids fall into sin. I listened to the words of a mother when her teenage son took a gun and shot a 13-month-old baby to death while that baby was lying in a stroller. How'd mama feel? The child that gets arrested and put in jail, the child that gets pregnant or gets a girl pregnant, the child who gets addicted to drugs or alcohol, the child, may God have mercy, commits suicide. I had a very good friend of mine. Son commits suicide. They are no longer husband and wife. I want to warn you something. One of the main things that will destroy the relationship between a husband and wife is the death of a child. I've seen it many times. Because in the process of time, the hurt is so deep, they blame one another. This young man put on the internet that he is going to commit suicide. Nobody thought he was serious. Mom and dad walked in. Went downstairs and he took a shotgun. Blown his head off. Do you ever get over that? Sorrows of life. The child who is raped or rapes. The child who stops coming to church and slides into sin. The child who turns away from God. Brings about the sorrows of life. Then there are the dollar storms. When there is more month than money. When a job that you were promised for a long time and the boss man comes in and says, we don't need you anymore. I have a man who lost his job. He's 55 years old. Where does a 55-year-old find a good job? We had two of them at our church at one time. The desperation. He took two minimum wage jobs. He'd worked from early in the morning to about 3 o'clock, sleep 2 hours and go work at night. Dollar storms, loss of insurance and benefits. Then there are doctrinal storms. Doctrinal storms that destroy a church. Someone goes off into error. Well, the family's got to stick together. Family don't have to stick together when it comes to error. If one of your family wants to walk in the way of heresy, let them go. I'm going to tell you, my dad was devastated when my brother went to Universal Church. Devastated. Their relationship was never the same. I remember Joe one Sunday morning went to a Presbyterian church. And he came back and told Daddy. Daddy in disgust said, "Are you telling me that landmarkism is worse than baptizing babies?" The relationship was never the same. Doctrinal storm. And then there are storms of depravity, where we ourselves fall into sin. There are storms of disease. We are afflicted with every kind of disease. And there are storms of death. My death is not going to be a storm to me, but it will to my loved one. There is the storms of depression. And a good preacher friend, some of you may know him, Mike Sisna. Mike Sisna's brother was murdered by a serial killer. Brutally murdered. And Mike just admitted, "I'm mad at God. My brother never hurt anybody. Put a bag over his head, drowned him, and left him there." And I forget that the guy always left a signal that what kind of killer he was. Mike lost his head. He made it his goal in life to find this serial killer. He went to Washington. He went to everyone he knew to find this man that killed his brother. He was never the same for a lot of years. Secondly, the risk of these storms. First of all, there is the risk of depending on the wrong help. You don't say, "Where could I go to the Lord?" There's nowhere else to go in the storms of life. Too often people will go to the wrong people. Too often we will worry and fret rather than obeying the scripture that says, "Be careful for nothing." And what that means, don't worry about anything. I have a sermon. I won't preach it, but I looked at the preach. And I preached it recently on "Don't worry, God's got this." And I'm going to tell you, God's got it. Don't you worry, God's got it. He's got my back and my front and both my sides. Sometimes we get discouraged to quit on God. I preached a funeral for a 4-year-old granddaughter of Vic Krause. I can say these names because you don't know them. But he wouldn't care. He's dead. I preached his funeral too. Not long after that, I preached his wife's funeral. I preached the granddaughter, then the wife. Well, I went in and talked to Vic about God. "Don't talk to me about God," he said. "I don't want to hear anything about God. God took my granddaughter, then God took my wife." I said, "Oh my, Vic, don't blame this on God. Your granddaughter and your wife are sinners. In the process of time, all sinners die except Jesus come first." He said, "I don't ever want to hear the name God again." I said, "Vic, then you better get somebody else to preach his funeral, because I'm going to preach about God and about Jesus." Oh, but he was so devastated. Discouraged. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. And we'll say, "Poor, poor, pitiful me." As if nobody else has ever gone through anything. Every time you think that you are in the midst of the storms of life, go read the book of Job. You talk about storms? Did Job become discouraged? His wife turned against him, said, curse God and die. Oh, what a great man was Job. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We must praise God even in the midst of great adversity. Sometimes we make poor choices that hurt us spiritually when storms come. People say, I was just too discouraged to come to church. Did you ever think that church is a place of encouragement? It might be a good place to come. I'm just too depressed. Sometimes in the storms of life, we make bad decisions and choose mates that we have no business being with. No business. Sometimes in the storms of life, we make wrong doctrinal decisions. I'm mad at that church. I'm mad at that preacher. He preached this or he preached that. I'm going down the road to the Armenian church. I talked to a dear, dear sister friend of mine. She'd been a landmark Sovereign Grace missionary Baptist as long as I'd known her, and strong, her husband died. I called her. Where are you going to church? Well, I'm going to this Armenian church. I said, oh my goodness. You're going to an Armenian church. I said, your husband would be so disappointed in you. She said, preacher, shouldn't have said that. It was too late. I did. She was discouraged, depressed. So she sold out God, she sold out the church, and she sold out the truth. Thank God she's back in the true church. Bad decisions. We begin to blame others for our problems. Own up. I mean, you know, I coached football and wrestling for 25 years. I heard all I wanted to hear about it was somebody else's fault. I got two grandkids. And it's always the other one that does something wrong. Stevie did it first. No, I didn't. Dallas did it first. And I said, guys, learn to tell the truth. Just be honest. We get angry and become jealous of prosperity of others. Sometimes we yield to temptation. And we use these storms of life as an excuse. Maybe a young person. They haven't been good in getting good grades, and mom and dad have been on them, and they're discouraged, and there's a storm. So they cheat in order to make a grade. Maybe a grown-up is tempted to lie in order to get a job or get out of trouble. Oh, there's nothing wrong. You're running late because you stopped to talk to a friend to tell them you got a flat tire. Yes, there is. Maybe we have the wrong friend, so we miss church so we can go somewhere with my friend. I've had people. I've been pastoring 39 years. There ain't much I haven't heard. Well, my friend, he's not in town much, and he wanted me to go here with him, so me. I said, did it ever occur to you that since he's not, you might bring him here? Amen. With you? Now, if that go where you want to. Poor choices, yielding to temptation. What do you do in the midst of the storms of life? To whom do you go? Third and last, the remedy and rescue. Preacher, you've talked about a lot of troubles. A lot of storms. I may not even have touched on yours. Listen, we have storms of life. You know that one out of four of us. Are you embarrassed to raise your hand if you've had cancer? We are in a minority, this church, because one out of four people are going to get cancer. One out of four. So you guys got some catching up to do. Praise God. I hope you never catch up. In my church, it is almost exact one out of four have cancer. Heart disease or a continual word. First of all, faith is always needed in the storms of life. What did Jesus say? How is it? I know another thing. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." The Bible, how is it you have no faith? They were saved, but they had no faith in the ability of God. Let me mention a lot of P's for you. I'll hurry through them. First of all, have faith in the passion of God. Have faith that God loves you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, I am resting in the love of God. That's what Jesus, you don't have any faith. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Just know that God loves you. Secondly, have faith in the person of God. We need to know God better. I've often told the church there that every child of God ought to read a book on the attributes of God. And I said, "I'll loan you one. I've got one that's about this thick, and then I've got Stephen Charnock who's about this thick." Not a one of them have chosen to read Charnock. I'll tell you, this world has such a perverted picture of God. They think he is altogether such and one as themselves, but he's not. Thirdly, have faith in the power of God. He is exceedingly abundantly able to do more than we might even think he can do. Fourthly, have faith in the presence of God. He may be in the hinder part of the ship, but he's always with us. Then have faith in the penalties of God. When you break God's law, there are penalties. Fear God. And then have faith in the performance of God. Because God can and God will do what is best for us. And then have faith in the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. I can always depend on the promises of this book. And then have faith in the purpose of God. I'm going to share something with you. You probably already know it. But God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't need our help. We simply must understand that God has a purpose. Secondly, not only faith, but following God is needed in the storms of life. Storms are not a time to run from God like Jonah. You know, Jonah fled 2,000 miles to get away from God. And he still didn't get away from God, did he? He ended up exactly where God told him to go. Exactly. He never was glad about it, was he? Storms are times to trust and obey. Storms are time to do what God tells you, to go where God tells you to go, to say what God tells you to say, to bury yourself in prayer. And I have examples written down of all of this, but I won't take time to go in. Storms are time to tarry long in the book. To be faithful in God's house. Now the persons who neglect these things I've mentioned, you deserve your storms. You're getting just what you deserve if you avoid depending upon God. When the storm came on the sea, the disciples ran to Jesus. When storms come our way, may we run to Jesus. And then we need to fellowship with Christ. It's needed in the storms of life. Oh, draw near unto God. Nearer God to thee, we sing. Be close with God. Where could I go? to the Lord. Go to God. Hurry as fast as you can to the throne of grace. Fall on your face. I've been preaching through the book of Ephesians, and part of Paul the prayer warrior. The Bible talks about one of the things I mentioned is the position. Prostrate himself before God. Have you done that lately? I know God's going to hear you no matter where you are. But sometimes we need to be so burdened that we fall on our face before God. That we strip everything else from our mind. He will walk with you and talk to you. He will take your sorrow away, or he'll give you the grace to bear it. And then forgiveness and forgetting will help you in the storms of life. We often carry things around with us that enhance the storm. My dad said when he was in a Pentecostal church, there were two women, and they had been best friends, but they had a falling out. They told everybody else, oh yeah, we've forgiven each other. One of them sitting in the front of the church, the other sitting in the back. And one night during the invitation, the one in the back got up and shouted to the front and just smacked her right in the face. Wasn't much forgiveness there, was there? And then she shouted back and sat down. Grudges. Let them go. Just let them go. Nothing to be gained by having animosities towards someone else. It's not biblical and it's not Christian character. To bear grudges. And ask God for forgiveness. Forgive any you have been offended by. Why are we human beings so afraid or so proud to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then why are we Christians so proud not to accept that I'm sorry? Who are we? Who are we that we think we have a right not to forgive somebody else when Christ has forgiven us of our sins? And then feelings will help in the storms of life. I'll tell you what, if we will love God as we should, these storms don't have a prayer of defeating us. They'll never defeat you as long as you love Jesus. When we sing, oh, how I love Jesus, may we mean it. You ever feel like a hypocrite singing that song? You know why sometimes you don't feel like a hypocrite singing that song? Because you're not thinking about the words of that song. Loving the church. Loving each other. Those of the household of faith. Love them in the midst of the storms of life. Preacher, you don't know what they did to me, and I don't care. I guess I care. But there's no reason not to forgive them. None. 70 times 7, 490 times? You ever forgave one person 490 times? Remember someone we were talking to Pro Shop, and he thought he was funny, and he said, turn the other cheek. And then he said, after you kiss them on the other cheek, he said, just slap them. I said, I don't seem to find that in the Bible. And then love the truth. If you love the truth, you won't have those doctrinal storms. Love the truth. I tell you, I told Andy, and I don't want to offend anybody that might have somebody they like. But I don't have very many preachers, even in our circles, that I believe really love the truth anymore. But they want to compromise to get along. Whether it is with Reformed Baptists or Arminian Baptists or whoever it might be. I can name about five, and I don't have a whole lot of others. And your pastor is one of them. I will assign Andy Proctor any subject, and I'm pretty confident he's going to preach the truth about that subject. Gene Kiger's another one. Doug Newell III is another one. I'm going to stop right there because there are others, but I don't want to keep name. There is an apathy about the truth. Not the truth, not being that important. One of our preachers said that the doctrines of grace, they're the only thing that matter. I don't believe that for a moment. The church matters. The Ten Commandments matter.
Yeah, that's right.
I had a gentleman come to church lately, and he says he's antinomian. And he was saying, well, the new law is stronger than the Ten Commandments because it says, if you look on the lust. I said, did you just say law? I said, I thought we weren't under the law. And then may we have feelings of thanksgiving. Have you paused today to thank God for your salvation? To thank God for all of your blessings. Feelings that produce meditation upon God. Well, are you sailing on a stormy sea? One's coming. May God prepare us to do as He has commanded in serving Him. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus, may God give you a stormy sea. May He make your life miserable. Grant you the gift of repentance and faith, and give you peace of God. Amen.